Last week we spoke about how Jesus raises the standard for his followers. Since he is truly the Savior, this should not surprise us, but rather relieve us. Finally, someone has come that can not only tell us what we should be like, but can help us to become who we were meant to be. God has indeed not given up on us and what we were created to be. He has great things in store for us. So great that we can even aspire to be like God Himself. Be perfect, just as your Heavenly Father is perfect. Well, that is indeed great news. It still shocks us when we come to realize what following Christ means in everyday life. For example, Jesus tells us today to not hold a grudge, to not desire revenge upon someone who has done us wrong. Rather, he says, I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Heavenly Father. It's widely known that this is one of Jesus' teachings. I dare to say that it is not so widely put into practice. So I'd like to share the story today of one remarkable man who did indeed put this into practice. His name is Francis Xavier Nguyen Van Thuan. Okay, that's a Vietnamese name. And in 1975, he was named the Bishop of Saigon. A few months later, the communist regime took over the city, and Van Thuan was arrested. The arrest was not only political, but personal, for two of his uncles had been victims of assassinations that began the civil war in Vietnam many years earlier. So during his imprisonment, Bishop Van Thuan was subjected to various forms of humiliation, abuse, and neglect. His greatest struggle, however, he said, was his interior struggle. Separated from his people, from the flock that had been entrusted to his care, he began to feel that his life had lost its meaning. But he heard God remind them that whether he was in prison or not, they were still his people. So just as St. Paul had often been in prison and communicated the gospel through letters, Van Thuan did the same. He smuggled little letters to the Catholic community on the back of used calendar pages, and those were then copied and distributed among the Christians, among the Catholics in his diocese. He felt impelled during his imprisonment not to live in the past, nor to live in the future, but in the present moment. For he believed that only there could he find God. And God, he believed, wanted him to fill the present moment with his love. So in the midst of all of his humiliations and the difficulties of imprisonment, he prayed to be humble. Finally, a moment came where he was freed from his self-pity and hatred. One day, after being hosed down because the prison guard would not permit him to leave his cell to relieve himself, after being hosed down, he looked the guard in the eye and said, "Thank you." At that moment, he said, he felt free, free to love. Many years later, after his release, he was asked what had enabled him to survive all of the difficulties and abuse that he suffered in prison. What was his secret strength? He did not hesitate to reply, "The Eucharist." See, when he was arrested, he sent word to his people that he needed his medicine for his stomach illness. The faithful understood that he meant wine, which is an allusion to one of St. Paul's letters. So they sent him his medicine. They sent him wine, and hosts were also smuggled into him. So each day, with 3 drops of wine and 1 drop of water in the palm of his hand, he celebrated the holy sacrifice of the Mass. He said about himself and his fellow Catholic prisoners that the presence of Jesus in the Eucharist taught us to forgive and to serve one another and to love one another. So he relates this story. The guards one day said to Van Tuan, "Do you hate us?" "No," he replied, "I love you, even when you want to kill me." "Why?" they asked him. "Because Jesus taught us to love as if all were our brothers and sisters. It is a very difficult concept to understand, but if I do not love you, I am not worthy to be called a Christian." Because of the love that these Christians had received and given, many conversions happened among the prisoners and guards, many of whom were Buddhists. And the authorities figured this out and decided to rotate the guards more frequently to avoid them being contaminated by the bishop. But he welcomed this opportunity to reach even more souls. All told, Bishop Van Tuan spent 13 years in prison, 9 of which were in total isolation, solitary confinement. In 1988, as Pope John Paul II canonized the Vietnamese martyrs, Van Tuan was still in prison, and he united his sufferings to the rich past of Vietnam's Catholics, 300,000 of which had given their lives for the faith over the last 3 centuries. He realized that to lose everything, but to still have God, is all that matters. Having Christ is what gives one joy and hope. Being like Christ, even in the midst of sufferings, gives the ultimate freedom. Van Tuan, in his characteristic simplicity, said, "It is through forgiveness that you find freedom." He also said, "I don't want to look to the past. I do not want to live in a spirit of revenge, but I want to live for the future in hope." So not long after his release from prison, Bishop Van Tuan was also exiled from his country of Vietnam. Pope John Paul invited him to live in Rome and work at the Vatican, later naming him a cardinal. In 2002, he died of cancer. Pope John Paul celebrated his funeral. And there inside the most beautiful church in the world, St. Peter's Basilica, the Pope remembered Van Tuan's celebration of the Mass in prison, in the palm of his hand. Noting the even greater beauty of Van Tuan's faith, he said, "The palm of his hand became his altar, his cathedral." Beautiful portrait of forgiveness, a model of love, a witness to hope, one whose very being was transformed by his faith. So what can Van Tuan's story teach us about forgiving and loving our enemies? Well, the logic behind the commandment we should know. It was very clear to Van Tuan. God calls all his children. Therefore, all are our brothers and sisters. If we hate our brother, no matter how much they deserve it, it hurts the family. The father is grieved by the feuds among his children. So our feuds then weaken our relationship with the Father. So our need to forgive, to love our enemies, comes from the spiritual realization that we are all brothers and sisters, even when we are not treated like brothers and sisters. As Van Tuan said, "If I do not love my enemies, I am not worthy to be called a Christian." So how? How do we love our enemy? How do we forgive? The main point I'd like to make is that when we think we can do this with our own strength, we are dead wrong, and we'll get nowhere. This commandment is not humanly possible. It is only possible with the help of God. Jesus knows our human condition. As he himself was betrayed and abused and crucified, he had every reason to hate his enemies, but he did not. He loved them, and he loved them perfectly, and he loved them to the end, to the very last breath of his life, offering his sufferings for their salvation, Father, forgive them, he prayed, for they know not what they do. If you are struggling to forgive someone, if you find your heart full of hatred, turn to stone towards someone for whatever reason, big or small, don't start by trying to forgive them out of your own goodness. It won't work. If it does work, it will only make us think that they owe us something forever and ever. Instead, begin by going to Jesus. Because of who He is and what He has done, He can strengthen you to forgive. Remember the forgiveness He has offered you. And ask Him for the desire to forgive as He forgives. Oftentimes we can't even conjure up the desire to forgive on our own. So deeply we may be wounded by others. So unready to move on from what has happened. So ask Jesus to do the heavy lifting on this one. From the very beginning of this process to its very end, it must be Him who is at work in us. This was Bishop Van Tuan's experience. Only when he became humble and realized he could not love on his own was he freed to love. I want to be very clear on this last point as well. If we do not strive to forgive, if we do not strive to love our enemies, to pray and do good for those who have wronged us, if we live a life of revenge, trying to get back at people for their unkindness, betrayal, neglect, we will never be free. We will always be the real prisoners, chained to our resentment, locked in the cell of our hearts by our hatred. Only love can make us free. In fact, it can make the prisoner the most free of all, like Cardinal Van Tuan. Think of Jesus himself, imprisoned and later bound to the cross, nailed to it. He was the most free of all because he, in that moment, was loving most perfectly. Love your enemies. Forgive those who have wronged you. Yes, this is how we are to be perfect as the Heavenly Father is perfect. This is how we are to be free. Free to love as He loves.